morning. Today is Monday, February the 22nd, Washington's birthday, the real one. 61st day of the year. Joining us this morning, Betty Chan.
Hi, good morning, Brian.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
And you brought a friend along.
Yeah, our manager from a center. Yeah, Teresa.
You going to introduce her like a full name or anything? Or?
Okay, she is the project manager, Teresa Hanson, right?
Yep, Teresa Hessian.
Yeah. You know my accent.
That's okay. It just makes it more interesting.
Joy, you nut.
Thank you very much. So how's everything working down at your house, or whatever it's officially called?
Our center doing well.
Center, pardon me.
Doing very, very well. And then also outreach doing very well. And then so we are ready for the new shelter, family shelter. And so that's what we're working on it.
And Teresa, you're going to be in charge of all three, right?
She's so real good. I trust her. She can do everything.
As of now, I'm in charge of the day center.
Oh, congratulations. So when you say it's doing well, how do you know?
Oh, let's talk about the center first, and then
Well, we've only got about 20 seconds before the break, so I was looking more for yes, no.
Well, because I found out myself, and right now I always do fence by myself, and then right now I found out a community really go for it, so it made me feel good.
All right, she's feeling good. We'll find out when we come back.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Teresa Hessian and Betty Chan. Betty, before the break, we didn't quite have the time to elaborate.
Okay.
When I had asked you, how do you know that it's working? Whatever the effort is that you're doing, how do you know that it's working? During the break, you had kind of shared some specifics.
Okay, because we build our relationship in a trust issue, and then also a first step for the homeless people being normal, they had to disconnect their former life and learn to be normal as skill. It had a long time. Sometimes take 1 month, sometimes take 2 months, and then they learn a better life, and then be former life, they let it be gone. It's very hard, very hard. Very beginning, if you tell them about how you hang up your jacket, how you wash the dishes, so hard for them. But take a couple of months when they adopt a normal life, which they never know in their life. And then really learn about it. Must build a self-esteem, self-conscious, and believe themselves. And then that's the way. As a matter of fact, tomorrow I train another 10 people, homeless people, with the dog to work. And then after they worked in the first job, and I know they can help, and they really want to do it, I had no problem, fun job for them.
So for folks that may not be as knowledgeable about this, and I guess we'll hear from Teresa on this one. When folks have been disconnected from society, I guess that's probably the simplest way.
Yes.
How long does it take them to develop, like, trust with somebody else? Or, like Betty was saying, just basic living skills. I mean, you would think that if they had grown up in a family setting, a normal setting, and then chose to, for whatever reason, end up somewhere else, that they would have that kind of innately in the back of their mind somewhere, and they just have to kind of freshen it up a little bit. It doesn't sound like it's the case.
Well, you know, it varies from person to person. It depends on what they're struggling with. What are some of their barriers to maintaining housing or maintaining employment? A lot of folks that we encounter are struggling with substance abuse issues. So it's going to take a lot for them to trust us when they first come to the center or when they first meet Betty. You know, they're not always in their right mind. And so it depends on how ready they are to make a change, because sometimes we'll work with someone for a couple days, a couple weeks, a couple months, and they're not ready to move on. They're not ready to take that step to go to detox, or they're not ready to even talk about going to a substance abuse treatment facility. They haven't hit their rock bottom yet. But then we get others that have hit their rock bottom, and they're ready to start talking about, not more than talking, actually. They're ready to start putting into action a plan that we lay out.
So, Betty, when you have initial contact with someone, are they coming to you?
Or well, you I go to them. See, everybody say I feed the people. Food is not priority for them. It's the personal connect with them is more important. Working in this field for 31st years this year, and the people know I don't have hidden agenda. I really want to help them. And I am not create a problem in the society. I want to help them off the situation, what they had. So they trust me, they come to me. And then, so more like a mother and son, no matter what age they are, a woman they are. And then, so like a lesson, sometimes I really kick the butt too. That's so, the way to go.
So then you're doing the outreach, then they have to make the commitment to be drug free.
Yeah, then I would bend in the center. And then I bend in the center, and then Teresa will help them what kind of problem they had. Do they need some connection? She's a good make connection with this client. How many clients we have? We have over 800 clients?
Yeah, over 800 clients we see a year.
And then every day we have people got jobs and stuff like that. When I move the people, I see them, they're ready. I get them a house, permanent house. And I move from a basement mall behind the basement mall. 14 out of 25 family never lived in a house in their life.
So is this chronic unemployment? Is this multi-generational homelessness?
Because they've been homeless already, they don't know about normal life being non-homelessness.
Right, and I can understand, you know, a 6 or 7 year old kid might not have references to that. But the parents, I mean, 25, 35,
they
45.
They gave up. They had no design to make a change.
How'd they get here then?
Well, they're local.
Okay.
They're local.
These are kids that grew up here then.
Yeah. This is third generation. I know the parent. I know the grandparent. That's why a center had the children program. And we had to start very young to educate them then, and also help the parent find job. That's what we do in the center, and help them build their self-confidence. So that's what the center to do.
And so these aren't the travelers.
No. Mm-hmm. Normally, when I see a traveler or a tremor, I ask them what they want to go, and I just bend the bed 38, the homeless guy and woman back home to their own hometown organization, and then they want to go home, but they're stuck in here for some what reason, and then all they do get me their phone number, I can call. In their own hometown, and somebody take them in, an organization take them in, I would buy the bus ticket.
Just to verify that they're not just kidding
around. Yeah, I don't want
that
can't be homeless, yeah. And I don't want it that way. And then in some way, they not qualify with the TAP programming. So that's what we're doing, and this is private funded.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30. We'll be back with more from Betty Chin and Teresa Hashin.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning on Talk Shop, presented by CDH Painting and Redeck. Betty Chin is alongside, and she's got her. So what are you, Teresa? Are you like the right-hand gal?
She does all the paperwork. I don't do paperwork.
Okay.
She's the project manager for the center.
Yeah, my formal title is program manager of the day center.
Yeah.
And other duties as assigned?
And other duties as assigned.
Well, I need Teresa. Teresa, let's go.
With pleasure.
Yeah. She's very professional. I am not.
So Teresa, why Betty's operation? What brought you to this spot in your life?
Well, I've been a resident of Humboldt County for about 6 years. I've been working with the homeless population for about that time. I came here from New York. When I lived in New York, I worked for a transitional program that served the homeless. So I continued that here. So I had worked for RCAA and the county for a time. And then I met Betty. We had coffee and we talked about the opportunity for a program manager position of the day center, and I jumped on it. I'm really glad I did.
Okay. What brought you from New York to here?
My husband got a job with St. Joseph's Hospital.
Ah, cool. Yeah. Okay. So you guys are here.
Yeah, they recruited, and we happily moved from New York to Humboldt County.
Now, is it New York City or New York State?
I'm originally from New York City, lived in Buffalo for a time.
Oh, okay. Buffalo must have taken out your accent then.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I've trained my tongue.
Or that compounded accent. It to Betty.
That accent has been gone. Me. When I talk to my parents for about 10 minutes on the phone, it all comes back. Yeah. But then I lose it again.
Yeah. Oh, so from your perspective, what is the one cool thing that's going on? I mean, if you just choose one, what's...
One cool thing.
What's your...
We had too many things
happening. Not you, Betty. No, yeah, I know your list is long. I'm talking... For you to tell your buddies back in New York State, what is the one cool thing about the program that you share?
Well, there's a couple, clearly.
Okay, so math is not your strong suit. Okay, we'll go with that.
My favorite thing, the coolest thing for me to see happen at the day center by far is the after school program. It's an academic based after school program. We see about 18 to 25 children daily. We're actually looking to expand that.
Because the need is there?
Because the need is there. Yeah, we have a wait list of kids and we're about to push the program out to accept them in. And you know, that is definitely, I think, the highlight of all of our day is to see the kids get dropped off on the bus after school, come in, get a snack. And since it's an academic-based program, we provide structure for them. And our main mission, first and foremost, is to help them get their homework done. And what I think is nice about it is that we cater to children who live at the mission. We cater to kids who live at the Serenity Inn and local motels. And so I can't imagine them having that structure in that space at home.
So it's kind of like a homeroom used to be
basically,
in the old days.
Homeschool. Yeah,
okay,
so
very cool.
So we give them that opportunity to come and get their homework done. And we have normally a 5-to-1 ratio, so 5 kids to 1 adult.
Now, you said that there were a couple of them, though. So that if that's one of them, what other things get you bragging?
So the other thing that we have going on is a Pathway to Payday. It's a job workshop series. We partnered with Eureka City Parks and Recreation, and we're about to start actually this Thursday a free job workshop series. So there are 4 sessions. So it starts this Thursday. It goes from 11 to 2. First 2 weeks, we focus on getting people's job search documents in order. So we do... kind of instruction on resumes, applications, how to do an interview. And a facet of the program is that we have 12 participating employers in the area that are going to be sprinkling in throughout the first 2 sessions.
So you just pop in, or they're doing presentations?
They're doing presentations. So they're going to come in and they're going to speak to the job seekers and give them some insight into what they look for when they go through an application, which applications get a phone call back and which applications end up in the garbage. Because we're catering to a crowd that feel as though they've been, you know, putting themselves out there to people but haven't actually landed the job. So something's they're missing something. So between, you know, the facilitators.
This is from the applicant side, not the employer side.
Yes.
Okay, because
yes.
I know a lot of employers go through the same thing. Geez, you know, I've got a job, I've been doing, and I'm not getting anybody who's qualified who's showing up.
So
or
actually,
if they do show up, they don't show up on a regular time basis, and it's doesn't seem to have the commitment.
So I guess it is an answer to both sides. So this is to streamline the process. So you have the employers that we picked are local, and they're agencies that typically, you know, hire on a regular basis. And the participants that we have are job seekers who, again, feel like they have not actually been able to land the job. So we're helping streamline the process. We're helping them meet, essentially.
So what is the biggest issue that they've got? Or is there a consistent, this is the pitfall that you really need to watch out for, because this is, if somebody doesn't get a job, this is 9 times out of 10, why?
Well, there is a population of the applicants that we have so far who have criminal background as part of their barrier to getting employment. For some people, it's really hard for them to check that box when it says, have you been arrested? Yes. People are unsure of how to talk about their criminal background, whether they have a misdemeanor or a felony. So the first class actually addresses that directly. We're going to have a breakout session specifically for people who have a hard time getting in touch with what their criminal background even is, or maybe reluctant to apply for jobs because they think they may have a petty theft from 5 years ago and they're not quite sure what to do with it, and they've just been letting it sit there.
KINS News and Information. I just let it sit there. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Teresa Hashin and Betty Chin. Betty, what is the next step? You've got this event. You're working with the kids. You've got the day center that's doing, it's, what, a year, almost 2 years old now?
Yes.
Is there more, or is it just doing more of what you're doing?
Well, I feel like we are in a society that the family will connect with the family value in our society. So I see something, we nearly build a family. We build a family value, and mom and dad and the children together. So that's all how I start in the shelter, family shelter. And then when I met Father, a Holy Father last year, it really gave me even strong, I want to do it, because that's what I believe in. I had a good family, you had a good family, but some people never had a family. And when I moved the people out of Fraser Mall in permanent housing, 14 out of 25 never had a family and live in a house.
So they were orphans? They went into the foster system, or the parents basically just kind of walked away from their parental responsibility and said,
yes,
you're on your own at age of whatever?
Yes, very much like it that way. And then they don't have family feeling at all. And then that's what happened when we had a family shelter. We are more like a safe two generation be homelessness, the children and the parent. The parent be homeless for all the time. This time they feel like a family. Maybe they build a family a generation to come. That's what I believe in. And also, I feel like a lot of sick people on the street, like a heart problem, diabetic problem, all kind of stuff. So in a shelter, we had a room for the sick people. So we call Nightingale. They can after they come out of the hospital, they can stay there for a week or so, much stronger, then go forward with their life. And you know what? I had a very, very good board to support this. I am not good to follow the rule myself. The board is very good. And then they all there to support this idea. And the board members are absolutely wonderful. David Tyson, and Paul, and Dan Price, all these people, As a matter of fact, next week at the Foggy Bottom Run, we gonna have the team to run, and they lean by Dan Price.
Yeah. Well, hope they make it.
Oh, you did it last year.
Thanks for coming by. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone, y'all. See you then.